Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the executive editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Carol Jones, one of the authors of the Amber Waves article, Taking the Pulse of Rural Healthcare. Carol, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm happy to be here.
Carol, we are in the middle of a national debate on healthcare reform. How does this debate play out in the context of rural areas?
That's a really important question, Sheila. The healthcare reform debate provides a really valuable outlook for looking at our research on rural healthcare. The themes in the debate are to improve the health of the U.S. population and to reduce the costs of doing so. Relative to the national average, the rural population has poorer health, and in terms of access, financial access is lower. The rural population finds healthcare less affordable, but particularly geographical access is more challenging. Because by definition, people are so dispersed in rural areas, they have to travel farther, particularly for specialized services. So the bottom line is that policies need to take into account these differences if they are going to improve the health status and reduce costs in rural areas.
Tell me more about the poor health that we see in rural areas.
It's been widely observed that rural populations have higher rates of disability and chronic diseases, even controlling for the fact that rural populations are older. Recently, ERS contributed to a new research finding that shows that these poorer health outcomes carry through to lower life expectancy in rural areas. Our data analysis shows that a gap in life expectancy between metro and non-metro counties opened up in 1990, and it's grown continuously since then. Interestingly, there is also substantial regional variation. The gap between the region with the lowest life expectancy, the South, and the one with the highest, the West, is greater than the gap between non-metro and metro counties on a national level.
You mentioned financial access. Why is affordability a bigger issue for rural households?
Interestingly, we don't see differences in insurance coverage, nor do we see differences in household out-of-pocket expenditures on health care. What we do see is that while expenditures are comparable because rural incomes are lower, the share of household income spent on medical care is higher in rural areas.
So the affordability issue is really because of differences in income, not differences in expenditures.
Yes, yes.
What about geographical access?
The low density of population in rural areas means that people have to travel farther, particularly for specialized care. So this means that rural patients incur higher travel costs, and they may receive fragmented care if follow-up treatment is provided more locally. Rural patients may rely more extensively on generalists rather than specialists. Even among generalist healthcare providers, rural counties, and again, particularly the more remote rural counties, are more likely to be designated by the federal government as health professional shortage areas.
We hear that adopting health information technology is particularly promising for rural areas. So before we get into how it can be promising, can you please explain, you know, what we really mean by health information technology?
The first key element of the technology is the individual electronic health records. And these include clinical information about the patient, computerized entry of physician orders, for example, for lab tests or prescriptions, results from the tests that have been conducted, and clinical decision support systems, for example, providing clinical guidelines about drug warnings or how frequently you should do various preventative care. Also needed to complement the individual electronic health records are a network to exchange health information among the different providers, and also the information and communications technology and standards to support both of them.
Then how, if we had all these things, how can this type of technology improve care?
Given the fragmented U.S. healthcare system, electronic records have the potential to improve the coordination of care. And this is viewed as an opportunity to both increase the quality of care and reduce the costs. It also can benefit patients in remote areas for whom travel costs to a doctor may be high. telemedicine applications allow remote healthcare facilities to consult with primary care physicians and specialists at other hospitals or regional medical centers.
And are physicians and hospitals actually adopting these technologies?
Well, the reality is that currently adoption rates are low. Among hospitals, non-metro hospitals are lagging behind metro hospitals. Among physician practices, metro and non-metro rates are comparably low. Healthcare organizations may be reluctant to adopt the new technology for several reasons. First, the current lack of specificity about technology standards raises uncertainty about future viability of the investments that would be made today. Also, lack of patient privacy standards raise potential liability concerns. Second, the intensive investments required to adopt these technologies, both in money and in skilled labor, can be daunting. Now, because rural hospitals tend to be smaller and more marginal financially, they may face particular challenges due to limited access to capital and workforce expertise. The 2009 economic stimulus package addresses some of these impediments.
Carol, this has been very interesting. Thanks for spending time with us to share your findings. I've been speaking with Carol Jones, one of the authors of the AmberWaves article, Taking the Pulse of Rural Healthcare. You can reach Carol directly at 202-694-5505 or at cjones@ers.usda.gov. And you can read her article at www.ers.usda.gov/AmberWaves. In the latest issue of AmberWaves, you will also find articles about how increased food assistance helps boost the economy during recessions, the challenges faced by the U.S. ethanol industry down the road, and the migration of baby boomers to rural areas. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.